this, we're probably gonna, there's probably gonna be several more meetings that will follow this on healing and deliverance, because this is not only something that we need for ourselves inwardly and spiritually and mentally, but it's something that at some point in time, hopefully, we'll have to give to others. And so, this is kind of a challenge for you, because usually people have a predisposition when they sit under any kind of a teaching. The disposition is either I need to be taught for my sake, or I want to learn something so that I can have to teach others, which sometimes is not a good motive. It's to have something in a way to lord over people and to have a greater advantage over people and to become people's teachers. And in a right spirit and in a right sense, it would be you're wanting to receive so that you'll have good things to give to others for their benefit, totally being indifferent to your own reward. And so the reason I say this is difficult for you is because I want you to be able to receive this for yourself so that you'll know how to use God's word and to position yourself in a right spirit underneath his umbrella, so to speak, so you can position yourself to receive healing, be kept clean and delivered, but also to have to give to others. So I said it's difficult for you. So how do you decide whether you're going to be a student being taught, trained for the sake of others here tonight, or whether or not it's for you personally so that you can receive healing and deliverance? Well, practically, you can't do both at once. So the question is, how do you know which position you're sitting in here tonight? The answer is, now see, this, you didn't even think about this till I brought it up, and here you were ready to receive something, now you're confused. Which hat do I put on? Do I put the student hat on? Do I put the teacher hat on? Do I put the, you know, heal me hat on? Well, it depends on what your need is. That's how you know. If you need healing, then sit underneath this word to receive it. If you need to be delivered, now, of course, Christians don't need deliverance. We know that. But if you're an anomaly, if you're a Christian that needs deliverance, then sit underneath this spirit in faith to be delivered. And you're going to have to answer some hard questions about yourself to be that kind of a student. It's easy to sit and know that you need to be healed because your foot's turned the other way, or your back is crooked, or you feel terrible, or you can't hear, or you're blind in one eye. I mean, that's easy, right? It's a little more difficult to sit here as I'm speaking and before your getting ready to decide which hat to put on to receive this word in, whether or not you probably or not are under the influence of demonic activity in your spirit and your soul. That's harder. And they may be connected. Your need for healing may be connected to the demonic influence. So you'll have to consider that. And that's why I'm giving you a little time right now to be thinking about maybe some, what some might call character weaknesses. You know, I get angry and I beat my kids every day. It's just a character weakness. It's a flaw. I stumble. Or we can be honest with ourselves and realize we have an anger problem. Or we never follow through with words that are given to us. We'll follow through with jobs, tasks, a job of work. We'll follow through with that because there's a reward on the end of it. It's called a paycheck. But when somebody gives me a word, when a spiritual man or a spiritual woman speaks a word to me, when I'm given a job of work that has to do with the word of God, I never really follow through. I can tell by my notebook, or lack thereof, by not having a notebook. And deciding that, and coming to a conclusion that, you know what, I probably need some deliverance in my life from a slothful spirit, from an indifferent spirit, from a rebellious spirit, from a stupid spirit, dumb spirit. You see what I'm saying? We need to know how, in some sense, the things that go on with us physically are easy for us, for most of us. Some of us are so used to being banged up and brutal, bruised, and you know that it's normal to us. But really, and attitudes are that way too. Carrying certain attitudes and being a certain way in our character is just normal to us. It takes other people to point it out to us. But do we consider that that is something that we need to get delivered of? Now what I'm getting to is if you aren't conscious of the need that you have when you're sitting under an anointed ministry, if you are not conscious of the need that you have characteristically, if you are not conscious characteristically of your need, your character will not be touched no matter how great the anointing. Character change happens by intelligence, an intelligence to the problem, and a voluntary act of repentance and confession and a desire and a will and a profession to change, turn around, do something else, act another way, walk another way. That's how your character changes. You can sit underneath an anointed ministry that can bring healing to you, to your physical body, or deliverance to your spirit, demonic deliverance. You can sit under an anointed ministry and be thinking about what you're going to do later and still get touched by that anointing. But when it comes to character change, when it comes to really reaching down and changing who you are, or who you aren't that you should be. That only is going to happen through you being conscious and intelligent, knowing what it is that the Lord is showing you, what it is that you need, and looking for the Spirit's word to change. There is a word for everybody here tonight. Through the message that comes from the platform, if it's anointed, there will be a word for every one of you tonight. Every one of you tonight should have written down something. Something will quicken your spirit. Something will go, yeah, oh gosh, that's good. That's for you. You may get more than one. That's great. But everybody should get one. And if you don't have at least one word from these meetings, it's because the emphasis of the Spirit to you was on your character and you weren't positioned rightly underneath the anointing to hear it. Does that make sense? That's why it'd be good for you to have something in your hand so that you can write it down, because usually what happens is you hear something and then you start looking around to write with. So I want to move into just, I want to give you a couple of scriptures. I know that most of us know this, but and the things that you already know, then just quick put on the other hat to be able to say, okay, this is something that's necessary for me to be able to give to anybody else that needs healing. Because what I'm going to give you is important for you to give to those who need healing in their body or deliverance in their soul or character change, because these next couple of scriptures I'm going to give you are absolutely principally sound that cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken, Jesus said, that deals with the verifiable proof and lawful mandate that came from God in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament that justifies us being physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, financially, every area healed by the Holy Ghost while we live in this earth. And the first one I want to give you is just, some scriptures I won't give you, you can write down, but we know that healing is the children's bread. Jesus said that. Jesus' ministry, he was ordained to bring healing and deliverance and the message of the gospel to the earth. And that's in Luke 4:18 and Matthew 11:5. And I'll read the one, and this is also in Isaiah 60. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover the sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is in several of the gospels. And then Matthew 11:5 is another account of it. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so that's Jesus' ministry. I'll just give you one for the disciples' ministry. And this is Jesus commissions all those that would be his disciples. Those who are under the authority and governorship of the Lordship of Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. Those who are submitted to viable spiritual delegated authority in the church are disciples of Christ. You are not a disciple of Christ if you have no relationship with spiritual, delegated spiritual authority in the church. You're not a disciple. And there will be some that get this tape that will take an issue with that. They think they can be a disciple just by submitting to Jesus. Jesus appointed leadership to the church in Ephesians and Timothy and Titus, and the leadership structures all through the New Testament. A true disciple will have a submitted relationship to godly spiritual authority. But in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, the reason I'm reading this is to prove the credibility. It's one thing, anybody who's read the Bible, read the New Testament, the majority of the ministry of Jesus had to do with healings and deliverance and miracles. So, I mean, that goes without saying. Jesus Christ became famous because he opened blind eyes, he healed the lame, he rose the dead. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that was the hallmark of his ministry. Had he not done those things, he would have had no fame while he walked on the earth. He would have been famous for being raised from the dead, but you know, how many people would have even seen him resurrected, and how viable would it have been if his 3.5 years on earth had not been marked by great miracles, signs, and wonders? It wouldn't have mattered. Do you see what I'm saying? So everybody understands and realizes, yes, Jesus was the miracle man. But the proof that he is Lord, the proof that he is the Son of God, that walked throughout the Old Testament and visited the patriarchs, and has been the Lord of creation, God's Son from the beginning, and will be the one that comes back again, the proof of that is you and I. You and I having healing and deliverance and proclamation that changes the character and souls of people's lives. Not just that brings healing to their flesh and deliverance to their spirit, but that their character changes, their way of life changes, their motives and intentions change, the passion for living changes, the motivation of fame and fortune, money, position is replaced by faith and love, indifferent love for mankind. Benevolent love for mankind. A love that is selfless. A love that gives regardless if it gets anything in return. And though people see that love, they don't believe in it. There's got to be a catch to this. There's got to be a reason that Jump for Jesus goes to Big Timber and puts on a full program for 2 days and doesn't charge money for it. There's got to be a reason. There's a hidden thing in there somewhere. The reason I bring up this scripture is because the very proof positive that Jesus is who he says he is and is the Son of God is because he delegated this authority to those who would believe. Now, if you think about that, everybody, there's no distinction of race, creed, color, age. There's no distinction of age. It didn't say, Dylan, that these signs will follow those that are 18 and above. It didn't say that. Stephen and Mark. Jesus didn't say, you'll be able to pray for people and help them if you're old enough. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say if you're a man, if you're an authority. It says these signs will follow all that believe in me. The depth of your belief in Jesus will determine what he can do through you. Now by the way, everybody should have been writing that down because that's for everybody. The depth of what you will do for Jesus is directly proportioned to the depth of your active current belief. And you can say, well, I believe, but those things don't happen through me. Then you need to redefine belief. Because the kind of belief that the scripture talks about and the kind of belief that you and I define as belief is totally different. To believe is to form and fashion your character, your motive, your drive, your purpose, your education, your skills, the direction of your life, everything that you will do is determined by what you believe. And very few people live like that. Very few ministers of the gospel live by that. There's a minister, I don't call him a minister, but there's a ex-Baptist minister in the Sunrider chain that said, well, basically the ministry was not providing for our needs and this, that, and the other thing, so I was forced to leave the ministry, and Sunrider has been very, very good to me. And that man should have never been in the ministry from the beginning. See, the key isn't what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to be when you grow up? Or for some of us, when we get older? The question is, you can be what you believe for. You will be what you believe. And the ability to see that creature looking at you through the other side of the mirror is frightening sometimes. But it's the only way that we'll change. Your beliefs end where your doubts start. Or you could vice versa. I'm spending a lot of time in this, obviously, because it's something that's necessary. Jesus said, those that believe in me will lay hands on the sick and see him recover, will cast out demons. Lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. Have authority over the spirits. Those that believe in me will have authority over the spirits. There's some, a few among us that are still, the Lord is trying to help them purge their houses, their little house, you know, the house we all live in, carry around with us. The Lord's wanting a few of us to purge the demons out of our house that are familiars to us, that come in the form of pictures and blankets and trinkets and those kind of things. And we don't do it because we really don't see. And we don't see because we really don't believe. And it's kind of a catch-22. We don't see because we don't believe, and we don't believe because the things that we see, we don't act on. But it's something that we should be able to look in the mirror for and see that about ourselves. I don't know why it is. It's not anything I was taught or that I learned from anybody. But there's always been an interesting thing with this belief that's been in my life. I can remember even before I was enlightened, before I was filled with the Holy Ghost. It seems like all my life I believed in Jesus. I was raised a Catholic. All my life I believed that Jesus was there and looking at me and knew my name, knew where I was at. All my life, I've had that consciousness. It didn't keep me from sin, but I had that consciousness. It wasn't until I was 24 years old and got filled with the Holy Ghost that my character started taking on a change. But I had an awareness of Jesus and his knowledge of me and his presence. But one thing has always been with me, and I'm sure being raised as I was, probably in the Catholic Church, with a kind of a face on presentation of Jesus back then that the Catholic Church had for how it presented itself, at least to me. I'm sure it had to do with this, but I can remember always most everything I did and most every direction that I took, especially when I left home. I only did what I believed in. Now think about that. And in a true sense, I was not a follower of other people. And for the most reason, the reason I didn't follow other people is because I didn't believe the way they did. I'm not talking about a religious belief system either. I didn't believe in going out and doing certain things. I didn't believe in certain things, so I didn't do them. For the most part, what I did, I believed in. Now, I had some wrong beliefs. I believe a relationship with a girl and a boy or a man and a woman, as long as I wasn't going against what she wanted and she was okay with it, that I believed that whatever we did was right. And that's obviously wrong. But if you hear what I'm trying to tell you, I followed what I believed. And the Lord was able to lead me in a way that brought me right in front of Him one day, because I always believed in Him. He was able to lead me on a path that brought me face to face with Him, and it changed my life forever. So, the intelligent, spiritual individual must walk through life continually asking himself, herself, the question, do I believe in this that I'm thinking? Do I really believe this? Do I believe in what I'm thinking right now? Do I believe in what I'm doing? Do I believe it's right to be critical of everybody? Do I believe it's right to lie to people? Do I believe it? And the list goes on. Good question. The question was, if you have a person that really believes it's all right to lie a little bit, or it's all right to control people, or it's all right to jab at people and be sarcastic with them to try and maneuver them, how do you reach people like this? How can you show them? Well, it comes down to the root. And if you think about each one of you, there's several of us that were like that. I was kind of like that when I was in the world. What the way that I was reached wasn't by showing me my jabs to people, or by showing me that I was lying or exaggerating, or all of those things stem from a deeper belief. And you know what that belief is? I'm right, you're wrong. The belief is this, and you got to get this. See, you can't go after the branches. What you got to go after is the root. And the root was, and the root is, the earth revolves around me. Everything revolves around me. I'm the sun of everybody's life. And all things revolve around me. And we would never say that. Some people would, but that's really how we think. And that's what licenses us to say and do the things we do. So these signs follow those that believe. And if these signs don't follow you, then there's something wrong with your belief system. You may intellectually ascend and believe and know, but there's not a spiritual agreement. There's not a true belief in that. You ascend to it. You know it's true. You'd say, yes, I know that's true. I believe it. I believe this is true. But because it doesn't happen in your life, there's something wrong with your belief system. And it might be as simple as you haven't taken off the knowledge of hat and put on the partaker doer hat. You see what I'm saying? Could be that simple. Okay, I'm not going to spend any more time on that. The belief is a very strong thing, and obviously, we can spend a huge amount of time on it, and I think, in another sense, we should be thinking about it a lot. I would like you to turn to Matthew 11, because this caught my eye, and I want to get into this a little bit. It's not something I particularly planned for tonight, but I feel like it's necessary for our foundation. What we're doing right now is, when you go to the hospital to be operated on, they don't receive you and say, okay, go in the closet, change your clothes, lay on the gurney, and we're going into the operating room. They only do that in an emergency situation. When you go in for a scheduled operation, what they do is they prepare you. And this goes back to the Burger King mentality that we have. Oh, well, I need healing. I'll come to the meeting and ask so-and-so to pray for me tonight. You know what? Your chances of being healed are slim to none. Because it's something you've carried for a long time, and you've decided, well, tonight I'll have so-and-so pray for me. Physical healing can be very much like exercising. And I'll give you just a little testimony with that. Mary Baker Eddy started the Church of Scientology. She initially did not have that in her mind. The great thing that happened to her is she was on her deathbed, and her husband left. Started reading the words of Jesus, and she took that as her medicine every day. The words of Jesus. And she was healed. Now, obviously, that particular movement went way off and has become the science of healing. There's still a foundational truth to it, but there isn't a science about anything when it relates to God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's not a science. It's a relationship. So, but then Derek gives his testimony when he was in Africa during World War II, and he spent several years in the Sudan, terribly bad place, an unhealthy place to spend time, and he contracted a virus that the army had no cure for. And he had become a Christian, filled with the Spirit. He was in the hospital for a year. And as he was in the hospital reading the Bible, he decided to do this. And this is something I think it would be good for all of you to do. I'd like you to buy a blue marker. And I would like you to carry that marker with you, and every time you read something in the Bible that has to do with salvation, deliverance, or healing, I want you to just highlight it blue. This is what he did. And he said what he decided was, because he was a medical orderly, so part of his job was giving people their daily doses and medicines and taking care of them, changing their wounds, whatever, which normally they did 2 to 3 times a day. So you know what he decided? He decided that he was going to take the Word of God as his medicine 3 times a day. And he got healed. He basically was led the same by the Spirit, the same way that Eddie was. And that's why remember the testimony I gave, that also they related that this church decided to come 7 days in a row and just sit under the ministry, that we're going to pray for anybody. And over 3/4 of the church, well, it was higher than that, really, was like 90% of the church was healed. And a 7-day meeting schedule that was strictly about healing. At the end of that 7 days, almost 90% of that church was healed without prayer. Derek also gives an account of a lady that was under a curse. A woman had prayed for this lady. She was an older Jewish lady, and this woman had prayed for her. And within a week after this woman prayed for her, her fingers all curled up. She went to the doctors in Israel, and they said she had rheumatoid arthritis and in bad, bad stages. Well, this other woman that had been to Derek's meetings and had his tapes and knew about curses. So she had this lady come over and said, listen to these three tapes, curses, causes, and cures, and listen to these three tapes, and she did with her. And at the end of the last tape, when the prayer comes on, Derek leads you through a prayer on this last tape. As the prayer started, the tape stopped. The machine stopped. They couldn't fast forward it, they couldn't reverse it, and they couldn't get it open. Well, the lady that had brought this Jewish lady with arthritis in, she knew it was just a demonic thing. So, and the lady said, well, I guess I can't pray the prayer. And she wasn't sure halfway whether she believed it or not. And the woman says, oh, no, that's all right. She says, I have the prayer typed out. You can read it. So she went and got the prayer. The lady, Derek said it takes about 3 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes to read this prayer. He said this lady read the prayer, and as she got about halfway through it, her fingers started opening up. And by the time she finished it, she was totally healed. And she never prayed. So, there's a lot to the word healing us. So, and let's go to Matthew 11. 11:23. Now, I'm kind of changing directions here a little bit. But I feel like this is important for us because there's two probably great things which I've come to conclude in my walk with the Lord. The first thing is that Jesus is more real than reality itself, and his presence, when his presence comes, there's nothing like it on earth. And that there's nothing that he cannot do. The other, and which I've seen a lot over the years, the other reality I've come to is you can't make Jesus do these things. You cannot control healing, deliverance, salvation. You can't make it happen. He gives the Holy Spirit, and the gifts operate according to his will, not ours. We, the preacher, all of us are a conduit. We're living, breathing organisms of his body that at any time he chooses to work through, he will work through us. But it's always his choice, it's not ours. So in saying that, on one side I've come to see that God is faithful and that I can totally, all the time, in every situation, rely upon him and know that he's there with me and know that he will take care of the situation. On the other side, I also know that depending on what happens is how he's decided to handle the situation. It doesn't mean that I'll always get where I'm going when I want to get there. How I want to get there. It means that his will for our lives and his plan and his schedule is beyond our knowledge most of the time. But then there's the other third element, which is the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the prince of darkness, demonic activity, the enemy of our souls, the destroyer, the killer, the divider, the slanderer. He's constantly working, so we can't rule him out. So if we put those three together, we have God is faithful. We have, but you can't control him when to be faithful and how he's going to be faithful. And the devil is at work to kill, steal, and destroy. Follow me here? So we got all those three things in our situation that's possible. How do we know which one is at work? Through working the word. We will know whether our obstacle is a God obstacle. It's Jesus has decided that he's not going to do this the way we thought it would be done, and he's withholding for a reason, or we're being withheld and we're being confronted and we're being stopped by demonic activity. Or the third thing being, I'm not fulfilling some area. I am not flowing exactly with the Spirit so that there's something not working that could be working if I was flowing with the Spirit. Now, the people that look after the law, the people that are law-minded, would say, well, I didn't have all my ducks in order. I don't have the full order of things. I missed a jot and tittle of the word. But you see what I'm saying? And that's how some of us think. Well, you know, God's not blessing me because I tithed wrong. I gave 9%. I didn't mean to, but I shorted the Lord. See, that's not going to cause him to withhold. But bad attitudes and rebellious attitudes and independent attitudes and self-willed attitudes and critical attitudes, all these things stand in the way of the flow of the Spirit. So you'll never know if your healing or lack thereof has to do with a spiritual attitude which you have, which you refuse to look at and refuse to deal with and haven't done your homework with and haven't been in the Word about, or whether you're being resisted by the devil, and maybe both. Or maybe God's just not into healing you this year. You'll never know. And for the most part, I would say the latter is never the case. It's never the case that God's not in healing you this year. Healing is the children's bread. So there's an interesting scripture here, this Matthew 11:23. I knew that you would realize I'd get to it sooner or later. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if, now this is a very provocative statement. This is very deep. If the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. What does that say about the poor slobs in Sodom? No. Sodom was denied the works of God so that they could repent. Read it. If the mighty works which have been done in you,